Now and Again is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage, Keanu, and more, head on over to cageclub.me. That is cageclub.me. Please play this song on the radio.
Please play this song on the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Now and Again, Volume 17. It is November of 2004, and we're still a podcast about mixtapes and memories, even though we don't remember very much about the songs on this compilation. With me today, my friend from way back then and even before, Nico Vasillo. Nico, how are you?
Hey, guys. It feels great to be here as always. And by here, I am literally almost always in a different place when I record this. So here is a state of mind. That state of mind is with you guys, and this now sucks.
So in between, like, us just talking about whatever we want, we're going to touch on a few of these 20 songs. And, you know, people last week were like, you said you spent 10 minutes talking about the format change, but, like, you just did the same thing. Well, we were prepping you for this. We were laying the seeds. We were putting in those the files for a bigger patch update, and this is it. We are flying through this fucking track list because what's the point?
I need to take a second because I have spent a number of years moonlighting as a teacher. I by no means think I am genuinely a teacher. I am also actively leaving the industry.
You are a teacher. Stop it.
Oh my God, I hate it so much. So, but I totally respect that, you know, many people teach because it's still important to inspire and educate while you're waiting for your writing to work. Then there are people who need to find something else to do while they're waiting for their writing to work because they are not fit to be teachers. And every now and then I would have a college professor who would just sort of be like, yeah, I want like final product. I want 8 pages on your process from rough draft to final product, the process that you always use every single time. And I want it in 2 days. I was the kid who used to get in trouble because the teacher would be like, seriously, I said 8 pages. I tear everything over 8 pages off and I would turn in like a 14-page paper. I would have trouble stretching that paper out. That's this. This is like, gotcha. I'm going to double size the periods on this. Yep. I'm going to change the spacing to 1.5. I'm going to put double spaces between sentences. I'm going to put an extra line between paragraphs, but I'm going to make that extra line like a font size 6 so the teacher's like, it looks suspicious, and they'd have to take out their ruler millimeter like a dick.
Oh, the margins of this album are very, very large. But there's no content whatsoever. We've had those episodes we talked about, right? Like, we'll have one now, and it'll be like, yes, this is like, this has a slamming Britney Spears song, an NSYNC track that still slaps, some good rock in there.
This, you know, set the tone for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and then we have the episode where it's like, oh, well, we blew our load, so now we have a crappy Britney B-side, a Backstreet Boys song with only...
And then here's 3 songs by Joe Budden.
4 of the Backstreet Boys, yeah, a Baby Bash song, and
Before I can forget. I have to thank all of you so much for calling and writing. Thanks to you guys, the GoFundMe hit $15,000. It looks like Mike is going to get his new arm. Thank you guys so much for helping out with the recovery after the Baby Bash.
Yeah,
it has been monumental how you guys have stood by us. And I'm seeing your guys' bumper stickers, you know, remember the Baby Bash. I do, guys. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Let's jump right into the Black Eyed Peas. Let's get it started. Everybody, let's get into it. Get stoked. Come on. Get it started. Come on. Get it started. Get it started. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Ha. Let's get it started in here. Which is, you know, maybe when you have to completely redo your song because no one should sing it. And this isn't like a fuck you or fuck you, I don't want you back. Or any of those songs that just have curse words like every third word. This is a song that had to be thrown out and redone because everyone except them knew, even in 2004, not okay.
Let's offend everyone, ha! Let's offend... Yeah, it's bad. It's bad, bro. It's bad. It's It is okay. You know what? There's three that I put on a pedestal. There are literally three examples of this that I hold to a very high, to a very like, hey, look at this. This is what's called, this is fucking up, okay? Yeah. Number one is this. This is, well, they're actually in no specific order, these three songs. Their use of the R word is just unforgivable. You know what I mean? Like, and I understand that that is the societal unfortunate colloquialism for it, where, you know, in their circle at the time, I get that, but no.
Yeah, and we're still in that the dark ages of 2004, which is worth, you know, not excusing it, but like explaining it. Like, we're still calling like the baseball team you don't like gay. You know, we're not great with our words at this point. We're still not, but we're getting better. This was so much more common in 2004 than it was now. So you can almost see how this mistake was made, but still, mistake.
Yeah, and here's a weird thing, not to like be that guy, but one of the things that's really fascinating about having been a teacher and watched the shifting tide of the high school psychological demographic shift, one of the things I think is most interesting is I can't even imagine that you're like, yeah, 15 years ago it was okay to call the other baseball team gay. I'm like,
I know, right?
You know what? You can't do that anymore, can you? You really, really fucking can't. But what's more fascinating about it is you said, you know, it's back when, but like, even I specifically remember it's prom weekend and we're hanging out in the hotel room next to us and our friend is playing the original version of this album with the original version of the lyrics there. And we're all kind of like, ooh, they shouldn't have done this. And feel like we probably later that day called each other that word. And like,
yeah, I believe
almost, it's almost like my husband is a really smart guy and I'm about to, hey, I don't even, like, literally, come the fuck at me on this. I will fucking fight anybody. I'm not kidding. The Roseanne reboot is deeply problematic on several levels, and it needs to be discussed. And I don't care if you're gay and you loved Roseanne once upon a time. I'm gay and I love my rights. And I'm not going to continue giving money to somebody who's going to help fund Donald Trump taking away rights from people just like me. Fuck yourself and your white cis privilege. But that's not what I'm getting at. What I am getting at, like, I'm not going to share any of those amazing Beyonce Coachella videos because Coachella is just another goddamn fucking money pit that donates to conservative agenda and conservative causes. Yes. So, Queen Bey, you did a beautiful job. I have read incredible accounts and I've seen photos and I'm just not going to promote it. Thank you for giving us a show that like changed everybody's life. Evidently, Rihanna is a changed woman and I think that's so cool. And I love watching two women get to respect each other in that way. It's so cool. But so, anyway, my biggest thing when anybody says to me that they can forgive the Roseanne thing, the thing that hurts me the most is, as my husband brought up, and I don't know where he saw it on the internet, it's called an exception house where, no, my kid is special. My gay kid, I will love my gay kid till they die. I mean, other gay people are faggots.
The only moral abortion is my abortion kind of thing.
Yeah, and I feel like everybody, even if they used this word, knew it was wrong. And I feel like the Black Eyed Peas re-recording this song was a huge step for the awareness of pop music, that the power of words hurt. The other songs, by the way, that I always use as examples are J-Lo's use of the N-word in I'm Real.
I'm Real, yeah.
That's, I'm sorry, you know better.
Do you want to guess when, I'm in a post grad program doing sciencey kind of things. I don't always talk about that. I try to keep it a little low key in case Taylor Swift fans try to dox us one day or something.
Just so you know that
they're violent, man. On Twitter, they're fucking animals.
I'm just going to order a pizza while we're doing this. I'm going to go downstairs and she's going to be like, "Sorry. The pizza man can't come to the phone because you're dead, bitch." And she's going to shoot me at the door.
We're going to be walking outside. It's gonna look like the fucking Jack Ruby thing. Some girl in a Taylor Swift shirt is just going to be like, "Hey, Vasillo, bang."
But you've definitely said what you're in, like verbatim.
Yeah, I know.
You have definitely Okay.
So anyway, so
okay.
So in my genetic class, we have a professor who is like, he's an old dude, like 45 years of working with genetics and intellectual disabilities. Like in some cases, he wrote the book on it. He's brilliant, but he's an old dude. And every now and then, when he means to say like intellectually disabled, he will say, mentally retarded. That's for those young kids out there who just think that's a slur. That was like the literal clinical definition up until, Nico, do you want to guess what year the APA switched that over?
Well, I can say this. Growing up, I grew up with a very Catholic family. My father was a huge member of the Knights of Columbus. He was at the time, of course, unaware that for over 75 years, the Knights of Columbus financially helped support the KKK, and certainly had no intention of doing so. So please know that he absolutely had no idea. He used to be a part of something, and I think, I think it might have been called the Retarded Children's Drive or something. Until, 2000 and, seriously, it was called that at least until, 2000 because he was a part of it till then. But I feel like it had to be, 2008 or 2009. It had to be a really late thing where they finally did something
about
it.
The APA switched in 2013.
Oh, my God!
I saw in research it said Obama signed a bill in 2010 that replaced intellectual disability into any government use of that. So, yeah, that's a long time. So the Black Eyed Peas were still so we knew it was bad. It still took a long time for that to get recognized. And, that dude, that was a phrase that was common for so long. And I think that's even less, that's more excusable than the whole, people are like, oh, well, grandpa's racist. Your grandpa's still saying the N-word. This is a little bit more excusable. I don't blame the very old man for slipping into the old word. But yeah, no. So I think some people don't realize that came from, that was, that it was a weaponized word. Yeah, and in the UK, I think there's a big thing around the phrase spastic with that. I remember Weird Al got into some trouble. He used that in his word crime song, and people were like, "Did you know that?" Like in the UK, that's basically saying hard R, and he was like, "Holy shit, no! I had no idea. I'm so sorry."
And actually, I need to I've already plugged it once. I'm going to plug it 8 more times. If you do not get out there and you do not give Kimbra money for this record, you're nuts. I saw her do a live set before it came out. She gave everybody early copies of the record. I met her. It was such an incredible experience. So get that. But, one of our pop goddesses in that vein is Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the best records I've ever heard in my life is Robin's self-titled. And I think Handle Me got me through some real, I need to sing my fucking feelings, yo, kind of situations. And I could never figure out what the hell they were bleeping. And funny enough, they were bleeping Nazi.
Oh, huh. Oh, that makes some sense.
Because in Europe, it's not an okay term to use like that.
Yep.
And so you're a selfish, narcissistic, psycho freaking bootlicking Nazi pimp, and you can't handle me. And I think it's so funny because when I contextualize the Nico who sang that song angrily 7-8 years ago, I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know that dude. Now and again really blows my mind sometimes when I have to face the iterations of self that have all led to this guy. When I look back and the reverberating funhouse of mirrors, and it's just 18,000 versions of myself who all were like, this is the one and I'm whole. And all the ones after are like, oh, that guy. God, I love this project with you. And that's why we can't do a single this way, because we just talked about this song for 14 minutes. That's why we can't ever do our new format. Let's move.
Oh, no. Well, I just want to say, if this song was separated from the context and it was just Let's Get It Started and that was ever released, this is a fine song. The end. It's a Black Eyed Peas song, and the Black Eyed Peas at their best are songs that will continue to get played during timeouts at basketball games. That is,
I was gonna say halftime shows, bro. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so this song is perfect for that, and you'll always hear this at a Knicks game. The end. Next, this is Lean Back, Fat Joe, Remy, a whole bunch of people, Terror Squad. Yeah, I remember the chorus pretty well. Fat Joe's dead, right? Oh, Abe's not fat anymore, right?
No, Big Pun is dead.
All right. Now it's like an ironic name.
Right.
Like calling a...
Now he's just Joe.
He was reborn.
Oh, so Fat Joe is dead, but reasonably sized Joe is alive. It's like, I love to talk about Fat Nico like he's an unrelated person.
Dude, it's...
Right? Once I dip below 200.
It's insane. Yeah. Seeing old pictures. I've just inceptioned you now into all of... it's been so long. Like, we can remember these songs, but if I think about you in 2004, it doesn't exist. R.I.P. Fat Joe, welcome to the planet, potentially healthy Joe. But rest in peace, Big Pun.
But then I think what's really sweet is... But yeah, because that means dead Fat Joe, the spirit of Fat Joe's dead fat.
That's how you get a Slimer. When you lose 100 pounds. When you drop that much weight, it becomes a sentient ghost being that eats hot dogs straight out of the cart. Goodies is a song in a long line of songs that, like, it's uncomfortable how, like, baby talk is made sexy, but, like, the song is really, really good. It slaps pretty hard. Ciara, welcome to the program, and, wait, what, is she, have we had her before as, like, a featured spot that was just kind of forgettable?
Welcome to the program, your name is Ciara, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I can't say officially.
It's okay, we don't do research.
I got nothing for Goodies. I feel really badly, but I actually, so I appreciate that you said that you think that Goodies is actually a good song and that it bangs, but, like, I kind of think Goodies is an alright song. I think Goodies is an alright song that's kind of forgettable. I think it's a song in a long line of songs that are just songs in long lines of songs, unfortunately. I think Ciara is capable of better work, yeah. But I don't think this is it. I think, yeah. I think this is pretty middle of the road. I think this is pretty generic.
So, yeah, through the lens of Now and Again, everything gets distorted. It's like a kaleidoscope of quality. And I think this is... Every Now seems to have, like, the one, like, sexy song. And we've had worse. This one... And I guess, I mean, this is like a top five song on this whole compilation. This Now sucks. So it also might be getting some points in my brain from that.
Yeah, like contextualizing its superior mediocrity in a sea of forgettable mediocrity is a good way to give it points. You know, there's nothing like a six in a room full of nothing, making them look like a 10.
Exactly.
So.
And that's how we survive on the Cage Club Network, too. Ayo! I love you, Joey. Houston featuring Chingy, Nate Dogg. I like that.
I don't like this.
The Beastie Boys. Check it out. Now, we ain't call no love, cause my farm ain't bad, so what's up with that? I got friends and family that I respect. When I think I'm too good, they put me in check. When they say I'm no better than you, except when I rap, so I guess it ain't true. Like that, troll, and you just don't stop.
Yeah, no, 100%. You do it.
Not a great Beastie Boys song, but are we going to get the opportunity until we do the retro episodes? When will we get to talk about the Beastie Boys again and their impact and how great they were? Maybe before this, I feel like kind of the last great Beastie Boys stuff was off of what album had was that Hello Nasty that had Intergalactic and all those tracks?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, actually, I love that record. I love that record so much.
Yeah. Oh, cover to cover, that's a great album. But, I mean, a 20 years of being some of the most influential artists in their genre is pretty incredible, especially considering the genre that those three Jewish white boys from Brooklyn are in.
Well, and that's actually what I was going to say. I'm going to say something that's, like, really hypercritical, but I don't believe the Beastie Boys have very good rapping voices at all. I think they sound shrill, and I think they sound physically uncomfortable.
I don't disagree.
I don't think they... And I think they still manage to make some of the most important music, and I think they manage to create and excite and engage. You know, I think this is sabotage?
No.
No. But do I think this is okay? I do think it's really funny because it's check it out, and it just makes me want to go, what you want?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's 100% it's a good time because the Beastie Boys are always a good time. Just taking a look at it from an academic standpoint, the Beastie Boys gave credibility to white people in hip-hop in a very you know, if you want to know how to be a part of a scene you're not a part of without being appropriative, be the fucking Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
The Beastie Boys never once for one moment implied their hip-hop was a realer hip-hop. Their hip-hop was superior in any way. The Beastie Boys made what they made taking their cues from the masters of their genre, and that's what respect is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You earn respect, and the Beastie Boys' early music is shit. I'm really sorry. Fight for Your Right to Party is really catchy. It's a lot of fun. It's a bad song. It's a great song that is a bad song. You know what I mean? Like, it's not art. It's art. It's art, but it's not like art. You know what I mean? Like,
it's exactly what it should be.
It's exactly what it should be. Some things are okay to be fun. That is just okay to be fun. And this is our chance to tell those guys, those phenomenally talented guys, hey, you know, you guys fought your way from being punk ass bitches on MTV bitching about porno mags to being forefathers of positive inclusion in a genre, and you guys are great. Thank you so much. Here's some Now and Again money.
Mm-hmm. Nico, you said you wanted to kind of take the next couple of tracks as one, because I've got kind of like how you had nothing before. I got nothing for these. So do you want to take Nelly's My Place, Lil Flip, Sunshine, Jaquan's You and Me, and Jadakiss Y featuring Anthony Hamilton? Is that the guy from the play?
Anthony Hamilton. No. So here's the thing about this. Here's the thing about these four songs. I affectionately am referring to this as the house that Kanye and Pharrell built. There is nothing here that sounds like something new. There is nothing here that sounds like something engaging. Everything here sounds a little bit like something else. As a matter of fact, and get your drinks out, motherfuckers, because I'm about to get y'all crunk. Sunshine features some riffs that sound an incredible amount like a Janet Jackson song produced and co-written by Kanye, released right around this time. Island Life. So it's even Sunshine, Island Life, they kind of sound alike. It is really interesting that we spent the first few nows being like, wow, this is so front-loaded with white pop. This is so front-loaded with white pop. Here's a handful of songs that are meant to attract an urban demographic. Oh, and look at all this rock at the tail end. Mm-hmm. And now I would say the first 10, 11 songs are a good solid block of hip-hop, dance, R&B. And what we have now entered is the way there was so much filler white pop that sounded garishly out of place in its narrative because it didn't fit the better pop that we knew. We're now getting subpar hip-hop mixed in with really good hip-hop. And it's standing out more as a block of inferior this or that,
yeah,
the way it was a block of inferior pop in the first ones, a block of inferior rock in all of them. The block of inferior rock really is a consistent thing because are always trying to find two songs that appeal to a harder edge group, you know, the dad songs, as we like to call them. So what you get here is you get a bunch of cheap versions of songs that sounded better by other artists, so you're getting the knockoff version. You can't get, you know, not that that's what this is, but you can't get Don't You by the Pussycat Dolls, so you get Can't You by the Doggy Cat Girls. And it's, God, I hate myself. So it's the Doggy Cat Girls. Fuck, why would I say it out loud again? So these songs, Locked Up Akon, Locked Up Akon, Locked Up Akon, Locked Up Akon.
Freedom ain't getting no closer, no matter how far I go. My car is stolen, stolen. No registration, registration. Cops patrolling, patrolling. And that don't stop me, and I get locked up. They won't let me out. They won't let me out.
Yeah. So goodbye those songs. Hello, Akon. Welcome to the program. Locked Up. This is the song that broke him for a minute, and then he just kind of. He came out of the gate at like a 10, and then he's just kind of been a coasting around at a 4 or 5 for the last 15 years, kind of. Like, what is the Akon song?
It's this.
I can think of a bunch of songs that he's
Mr.
on.
Oh, Mr. Lonely.
But, like,
Mr. Lonely.
I can't think of an Akon song.
Mr. Okay. Lonely. Yeah. That horrible. Mr. Lonely. That song. And this.
So at the time, I think what they were trying to do with Akon was they were trying to give him some more credibility in a genre where credibility is kind of a selling point. You have Jay-Z, who had come from a background of selling drugs. You had
Smack That!
Oh, yeah, that's a, yeah, true. And you had 50 Cent coming out around this time, who's half bullet at this point.
actually is Cyborg from the Teen Titans grown up.
So they tried to say with Akon here, like, oh, this was his life. He served a bunch of time in prison for stealing cars. He did not do that. He was never convicted and never served any time in prison. So that kind of, I think,
wait a minute.
Some of that credibility.
Does that make Akon a million little bullets?
Oh, I get that, and I like it. But I hate that I like it. And I hate that we're the only people who are going to get it.
Hey, you know what? If I have to, I have to get my laughs in where I can get them.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. But yeah, so he also pulled an R. Kelly. Not exactly, but he pulled someone. He was doing this thing where
he has girls trapped on a bus.
Well, he would do this thing where he'd pull people up from the audience and do, like, sexy stuff with them. And at a 21 and over, like, venue, he pulled someone up who happened to have gotten in at 15, and he got in a bit of trouble from that. So I feel like he came out of the gate strong, and then a variety of things just kind of, he's just, bye, Akon. You could be on other people's songs now, I guess. Like, we'll see him again on Lady Gaga songs and Gwen Stefani songs. Like, he's gonna kind of make a career as featuring Akon.
Hey, and that's great because, you know, Ja Rule could not make that happen in America. Nor could Fred Durst.
True.
You know, a lot of people who... There's this horrible notion that dominance and or superiority or strength or masculinity or something is determined by some sort of physical factor. That it's determined by having been shot in the face the most times or having seen the most fucked up shit. But, like, people who are like, I've seen the most fucked up shit, that makes me so hard. Actually, it kind of puts you at a higher risk of PTSD.
Yeah.
And people who believe, like, they are alpha, elite, dominant, the best for any one particular physical reason, they're so tall or they're brilliant or whatever. If you literally believe that that is all you have that constructs your narrative of strength, that expresses you as a dominant creature, if what you have that gives you that boils down to one thing, you're actually incredibly weak. And when you try and create a character and a narrative based on that, you know what I mean? Whether it's this guy is so tall, so he's going to be so great at basketball, or this guy's so jacked, he's going to be the biggest thing in football, or whatever, you know, for sports, just to go somewhere that isn't music for a second.
Yeah.
And you come up with this guy, or, you know, like when an actor comes out and he's just so beautiful and he's mysterious. Like, why can't I think of an actor who, like, Andrew Garfield? He was like the it boy, and then everybody quickly got over him all at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I blame that terrible Spider-Man movie.
Oh, 100%. And by that, I was only creating that comparison for the flash in the pan argument that, you know, anybody can come and go really quickly. But my point is, they tried to create a narrative about Akon being this hard-ass motherfucker based on his past. Your past can't be the only thing that makes you a badass. Your present needs to make you a badass. You need to have an air of respect about you. You need to have something that makes you special. If you need to keep whining to me that you're so great, if you need to keep telling me what an amazing, awesome superstar you are, you're not. And that is the thing that all of these manufactured personas missed. They were so busy telling you how big their dicks were, they forgot to know how to use them.
It's the authenticity issue.
Yeah, it rendered them impotent despite, you know, Akon really did go to jail. No matter how short it was, no matter that it was like 8 days for helping his brother steal a car, he went to jail. He could have talked about a criminal past, growing up in a seedy, dark, complex element and having trouble. But instead, it's this need to posture and be the most grand thing possible. It's this need for innate exaggeration that makes... Okay, if you keep raising the bar will one day be too high. You are starting at a 10. Figure out how to get to 11.
Yeah, yeah, there's nowhere to go but down, essentially.
Yeah.
So, speaking of nowhere to go but down, JoJo, Baby It's You, got us put on a list again.
I like this JoJo song. I have to feel bad about myself, and I need to, it's that scene from Sweeney Todd. I'm Judge Turpin throwing myself on the floor screaming, deliver me. Cute guys who get that reference and would like to help me recreate Sweeney Todd in my bedroom, just shoot me an email after the show.
You're gonna murder them and make them into a pie?
No. They're gonna play Antony, and I'm gonna play Sweeney.
Oh. Okay. I must be thinking of a different part of that.
Right. See, what you're thinking of is the fact that Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney make their enemies into meat pies. Wait, what's your rush? What's your hurry? You gave me such a fright, I thought you was a ghost. Half a minute, can't you sit? I can do the whole show from beginning to end.
Now, you're, of course, referring to that the Johnny Depp movie that they later turned into a play?
Yes. Right after they did that, I turned my asshole inside out and blinked myself out of existence.
Robbie Williams sneaks back onto our show in a way that we didn't expect via Jessica Simpson's cover, again, of Angels. I said that about Sweeney Todd to get you really, like, riled up, like to get you to do some cardio before the heavy lifting. Go. Be free. Let it all out.
And I make art about being positive and inclusive, and my job is to tell everybody that they can be a hero, and that they are beautiful, and they are amazing, and they might not be smart at math, but maybe they're incredible at this other thing that somebody else can't be good at, and this is my job. My job is to tell other people that no matter where it is inside of them, there is something beautiful, and there is something worth preserving, and there is something worth respecting. There is literally nothing about any of... None of those things are in this song. None of those things are in this song. There is nothing worth respecting. There is nothing beautiful. This is a ham-handed cover by a person who creatively had very little to say. It's down to a really false performance. It's a very nasal, projected performance. It's very much like that Fergie national anthem where she was using affectation to cover a lack of technique. That's kind of what we're getting here. Mm-hmm. We're just getting screaming to have a performance. I'm not connecting with her performance here. It is that really strained sound. One of the things about the Robbie Williams version of this song, which isn't even the best or anything, there's something so honest about how frequently it almost sounds like he's speaking it. It's almost like he's laying in bed holding his head, and he's experiencing it. But for her, this is a cover. It just does not feel like her performance of this song says enough that it warrants the time. And in a world where we're discussing and vying for the importance of inclusivity in art, why are we giving this little white girl the platform to cover a barely 5-year-old song? This is just an exceptional waste of money, and it serves no purpose. Ugh. It's not even good art. It's just the pretty white girl.
No one should have had to... People paid for this song, and, like, that's not okay. Like, this is something you can hear an equal, if not better, version of at a fucking karaoke night in a city. Like, this... It's not okay that we were selling this version of Jessica Simpson. Even if her original song sucked, which they mostly do, at least you are selling something unique. Like, you can't get anywhere else. This... everything she's done recently is just... It's like a photocopy of a photocopy, and it looks wrong, and it sounds wrong, and it's bad.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. It's honestly frustrating because, you know... I don't know. I feel like... I feel like it's so hard to make art. I feel like it's a struggle for people to get their voice heard, and... especially voices that are trying to say something different and something new and something creative. She is saying none of those things. This is...
So not a redeeming factor in this song.
It's reductive. It's so reductive, I wish it was redacted. It's pointless. This makes me... And I feel so fucking... I feel helpless. I feel helpless sometimes that I'm in a world that I can only change by the power of the volume of my voice. And thank God I have the loudest fucking voice on earth. But all I want to do is create a world where people feel like... And, like, it's the funniest story. So when I'm in college and I'm still angry at the world and I'm still pissing on everything so it knows how loud and angry I am. And I was basically 90s lesbian rock well into the aughts. And
right at this time,
and I made some comment about really hating this piece of writing we were reading in class, and I called it flowery, and it was a workshop class, and I called it flowery, and this young woman burst into hysterical tears because she felt the writing looked like hers, and somebody would call this flowery is like insulting, and it made her feel like she couldn't write, and the teacher had to like take her outside and talk her up for a few minutes, and when she came back in she talked down to me about using mean-spirited words like flowery to describe other people's art, and I'm trying to find a nice way to say this. If you can't handle a descriptive adjective like flowery in a workshop, you will be eaten alive by the first publisher you meet. I am not saying I have any right to cause you pain because of that, but, oh God, that does set up the discussion for much greater things. But I bring this up because I try to live a life where I don't make people feel bad about shit, you know, unless they want it. Unless you're like, hey, humiliate me, and then I'm like, great, let's talk about your flaws. I could do this all day. But I don't mean to make it sound like if who you want to be, if what you want to do with your life is pay tribute to the people who have inspired you with the gift you've been given, right? If you're a young Jessica Simpson, and I really mean this, I'm going to make up a person and, you know, a girlfriend for Preston. So her name is Charlotte, but she goes by Charlie, because that's actually a really cool thing. When girls go by Charlie, that's always hot. That brings out the pansexual in me. Yeah, right? So, Charlie has a voice, and she loves to sing, and she's in the chorus at school. And all she wants to do is record covers. She thinks of herself as a millennial Linda Ronstadt. And,
oh, God.
I needed a minute after I said that, man. So
it just hurt. It's like a delayed pain.
It's referred pain. It's actually a toothache. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a fucking kidney stone that you feel in your stomach. Oh, God. Okay. Oh, go on. Go on.
It's like when you accidentally ball tap yourself so hard you feel it in your back.
Yep. Oh.
I don't mean to make Charlie feel like she can't be the millennial Linda Ronstadt, SoundClouding herself nonstop trap covers of all of her favorite 90s rap rock. She has this amazing trap.
Trying to keep it together here.
House inspired cover of Crawling by Linkin Park. It's so good. And she actually kind of like whispers the whole thing. It's like a lot of like, crawling in my skin. It's really good.
If she could just get into one trailer, it would change her life.
Did you say if she would just drive into a warm trailer, it would change her life?
That too. But I'm saying those are the kind of songs that end up in all the movie trailers these days.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. And it's like, and it's about like her younger brother being abducted by her boyfriend's controlling mother, who it turns out is her boyfriend's sister. Anyway.
Is that the movie or her life?
It's actually based on a true story. Both. So I don't want Charlie to feel like I don't think her voice deserves to be heard. My argument is that the people who were deciding how the money is going to be spent decided that it was more important to continue making art that served no functional purpose than it was to do something new and progressive. You know, Janelle Monáe just came out, right? Monáe just came out as bisexual. She is supposedly in a relationship with Tessa Thompson, which she won't discuss. And as I posted on Facebook, welcome to the club. Here's your membership card. You get to start off at our coolest level, which was already called Monáe Ultra Plat. And Janelle Monáe has been making engaging, exciting, brilliant, different music, setting the trail for incredible artists to follow by doing the daring things first for like 10, 15 years now. Mm-hmm. But Jessica Simpson's every third whim and also her discarded fucking floss gets its own music video. And it just hits that point at...
Why does Jessica Simpson's discarded trash get a music video? You mean Ashley Simpson's Pieces of Me? Because essentially that happened, this Ashley Simpson thing happened because Jessica Simpson had a successful reality show. And then they were like, well, can we do this again with Jessica Simpson, who looks slightly more like a Fraggle? And the answer was very briefly, yes.
Ask me my favorite thing in the entire world.
What's your favorite thing in the entire world?
Jessica Simpson's first record did okay. Ashley Simpson's first record opened at number one.
Oh wow! Okay, so let's lay some groundwork here.
Hold on, wait. I'm gonna
set a rule here. We will come back to Ashley Simpson on this show, and we will not have enough to say. We're gonna talk about the rise of Ashley Simpson here. I think I called her Jessica. We're gonna talk about the rise of Ashley Simpson here. Next time we'll talk about the very hilarious fall. Okay, so let's not go into any of the SNL Orange Bowl stuff right now.
That is literally my all-time favorite video.
We will do that the second time. For now, let's just talk about the fact that they took Ashley Simpson, dyed her hair black so that she was slightly different from Jessica, also smashed her with another pop star, but like one who like kind of lightly played acoustic guitar, which is kind of like what she did. We've talked about this song
Ryan
like
Cabrera.
30 times. Yeah. We've talked about this song like 10 or 12 times already on the show when it was Hilary Duff, when it was any number of just kind of like girls with a backing band doing light acoustic, slightly up-tempo rock. And every time I think that song is fine, but hearing them back to back over the course of however many episodes we've done, I'm getting pretty sick of this song.
All right, I'm going to actually, I have to say one thing about this song, though, in the first place. I respect how you feel, but I do think Ashley Simpson had a hit. Is going to sound so strange. I think dollar for dollar, pound for pound, Ashley Simpson had a more successful music career than Jessica.
Yes, but you got to remember that eventually she's going to start doing some weirder stuff, and that is what's going to separate her, and that stuff's going to be pretty successful too.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That comes even post, like, the bad shit that happens to her.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's really funny, for me, about these two women in particular. They both had reality shows. Yeah. They both had pop careers. They both married members of bands. Right? Because Ashley Simpson marries Pete Wentz. Yeah.
And they have a kid named Mowgli or something.
Yeah, they like Brooklyn and Mowgli. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Ashley Simpson is still a bazillionaire based on like her fashion line and her perfume.
I'm sure.
And, you know, there's this thing that if a woman's fashion line is going to be owned by 17 men in suits or by Ashley Simpson, what would I prefer? I'm going to prefer the woman CEO to a board of men telling women what they should appreciate. Sure. Like I said earlier, this show, I absolutely put on a show performance when we record this podcast. I can't help it. It's subconscious. I'm a person who's always needed attention. I really like attention. I like being the loudest, most special person in the room. And I think... So, anyway, point of my story is that Ashley Simpson comes off like a big dumb idiot, but Ashley Simpson has managed to be a multimillionaire for like seriously at this point 15 years.
I never really thought that was her shtick. I thought that was like Jessica's domain.
I thought Ashley was like the
more edgy, rocky one with like some emotions. Like that was her.
But at the same time, they're all edited to be naive, silly women who make wah, you know what I mean? Like, and it was still, because I can remember it, because in 2000, whenever this was, I was all about the guys with guitars. I was trying to be one of them. And Ryan Cabrera was like a poor man's Howie Day.
That's a perfect description of him.
And I vaguely remember him being very... Like, their relationship being very, oh, look how kittenish she becomes around him. He's an old family friend crashing on the couch in L.A. between gigs. And, you know, it tries to create this normalization of a fascinating world in a way that people can appreciate, like it's organic, even though it's not. I guess I don't have so much to say about this song. I have more to say about the idea of the manufacturing and industrialization of young white women as morons to allow them to have corporate CEO positions. Why do we only reward women who act dumb? We are much less ready as a culture to reward aggressive, intelligent women, and when we do, we imply that we're afraid of them. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know who I'm more afraid of in bed, Beyonce or Jay-Z, but you know what I mean? Like, but I do think there is something about the fact that Ashley Simpson was trotted out as a commodity.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Let's double back. We skipped something to do a Simpson double feature. But Nico, Fuck, Marry, Kill, One Thing by Finger 11, Switchfoot, Dairy to Move, and Crossfade, Cold.
Kill, Crossfade, Cold.
Agreed.
I would probably marry... Dare You to Move, because it sounds like he would always try and keep my heart up.
Yeah, they've also got that like Christian rock thing, and I feel like they wouldn't just fuck.
And I feel like One Thing can be sex you know you shouldn't be having, and I really love dirty public sex that I'm going to regret later on, and I feel like I could have really good, oh my god, why did I let him talk me into this sex? To I really couldn't. No one ever talks me into anything. It's awful. You can't make me do anything I don't want to do. I'm the most horribly stubborn person in the world. But you know what I'm saying.
Yep. I for almost the same reason. This is why we're friends. We would fuck, marry, and kill the same three songs. Franz Ferdinand, Take Me Out. And if you leave here,
I want to unpack this song in terms of a cultural phenomena.
I think this song is better today than it was then, honestly. I don't understand why, though. Like, I like listening to this song more in 2018.
I do. I can tell you. Do you want to know why?
Yes.
Do you want to know why? Because it's not one of a zillion. It's not...
Yeah.
This was part of a cultural obsession with...
The Strokes,
weird,
the Hives,
possibly,
the Vines, White Stripes...
Modest Mouse. If the guy sounds like he might be European, and also he sings like an asshole, and also somebody in the band is drinking a chai latte while playing an old timey keyboard, he has to wind up. That is this genre of music, and you know they're called the Darjeeling Darlings, and they are super successful, and all of their songs are stuff like My Mom Ate a Wolf and Opal Oops Opulence. And, you know, they all kind of go like, and then, you know, some kind of keyboard comes in and it goes like...
It's a genre where for some reason the hi-hat is the loudest mixed drum.
And the vocals are always purposely mixed under audible.
Yeah.
You appreciate the song now because you can see how it elements of this genre of music actually did get incorporated into other genres of music as well. I think we saw elements from Franz Ferdinand and the Hives and the Vines, etc., and early The Killers for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Help things like Dance, D-N-C-E, the Joe Jonas Band. I don't think you could have Cake by the Ocean if you didn't have Take Me Out. And while perhaps you don't love Joe Jonas's music, the idea that pop music has been pushed to a place where it's been homogenized with digital retro dance rock is at least a good step for pop music, because pop music does need to continue to evolve. We maybe can't control its direction, but seeing how this song has gone on to affect music now gives us a better appreciation for it retroactively.
Mm. Yeah, I think we even see some of this come up. Like, I think artists took this, I guess you'd call it like early indie, I don't even know what
early
you really
beep
call
rock.
This. Yeah, I feel like
beep
even
rock.
You would even
it's
see some of this
rock.
In like Santigold's early albums doing like songs
Hell
like
yeah.
LES Artists. Yeah, like just improved on that kind of format in a lot of ways. The Bravery is an Honest Mistake. I feel like that's another song in this genre that I absolutely love, but I don't really want this genre. So like this is a genre that I'll take a compilation of. And like be done.
Yeah.
Like give me this. Give me
like,
the now. That's what I call whiny faux British guys.
That song. I forget who does it. Dakota though. I love that song. It goes in the same category. Make me feel like the one. Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I love this genre. The genre is like, it's like Guster's Satellite. This genre is songs you want to listen to when you're feeling a little drunk because you're not exactly sure what's going on and you're in the mood to get into some trouble and you're having a good... Wow, all of my like emotional go-tos are somehow self-destructive. That's really interesting. I'm like, yeah, you're going to get in trouble. And I'm like, yeah, sex you shouldn't be having. Anything that brings me joy, I'm automatically like, isn't it dirty? That is a really weird thing to realize mid-podcast. Next thing.
They're the songs you pick in Rock Band after like your five or six like go-to songs have been used up.
yes.
Bowling for Soup, 1985, which you told me last episode we already covered, but we didn't. Because this song is so identical.
The Bad Guys Want.
Yes, it's the exact same song. Madonna, way before Nirvana, there was you two and Blondie, and music still on MTV. Her two kids in high school, they tell her that she's uncool. More Hey Remember the 80s. This is the Ready Player One of Bowling Soup for Soup songs.
No, I like bowling soup.
I don't know. This song's this not good. It's fun. They do some... They make some references that I remembered. I know who Madonna is. I love lists of things that I remember.
Completely. I love BuzzFeed. So, I think the problem with this song is, okay, so I have this student, right? And he's a great kid. His name is Brandon. He has, like, wild 70s kid hair.
Okay.
And he's always coming in like, either, like, Breaking Bad or Zeppelin shirts. And okay. This kid is absolutely a badass 70s motherfucker. I love this kid. He's basically Hyde from, that 70s show, but now, and cool, and socially aware. Mm. And I had to explain to him that in the 90s, Puff Daddy sampled Come With Me, sampled Kashmir.
Kashmir's Come With Me, yeah.
For the Godzilla soundtrack. And he was like, who's Puff Daddy?
Fair question for a youngster.
And I was like Sean Combs. And he was like, who? And I was like,
the guy who invented Ciroc vodka.
P. Diddy. And he was like, oh, that's stupid. Why would he do that? And I'm like, I know. I played a clip of P. Diddy rapping over Kashmir for him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, my God, why would he do this? Like, some things are like, no, man. Like, I remember the first time I heard Kashmir. Like, and I had to be very...
Mm.
I was born 10 years after Kashmir came out.
Yeah.
You were born 15 years after I came out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so there's this sort of sense of like, no, Bowling for Soup could not, unless Bowling for Soup, at the time this song came out, were well into their 40s, they could not genuinely romanticize 1985 in this way.
I think, it's an interesting question. That's a really good question.
Well, I mean, they can't natively romance because she's still preoccupied with 1985, which makes it sound like the young woman or old woman in this instance that they're interested in is stuck in the 80s. Best, so she had to be a teenager in the 80s. So,
and at best, they're probably like 10 in 1985.
Right? So,
that's my math.
But then. It's
like my math's good there.
But it's still weird. It's still kind of like a stunted, awkward song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just... It's, like I said, it's Ready Player One, if you remember the 80s. The video, too. He's doing George Michael, and they're doing the Whitesnake video. Addicted to Love video. They're just doing all the greatest hits. It's not for me. Pass.
What's next?
So, we're at the end. Real quick, we'll just jump ahead. To the closer, Keith Urban's Days Go By. We are going to have a lot of time to talk about this artist and a lot of the similar ones. I think he's probably the best of a lot of these boring ass country Kenny Chesney, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kind of guys. Yeah, I know. Okay. Just because I want to get rid of this one, and I have some things. I have some words for the other one. So yeah, like we'll talk about Keith Urban a lot. Or probably not. We'll probably do this a bunch down the line, but he'll be coming back. Gretchen Wilson, we talked about last episode, right? That was with Redneck Woman, and we kind of breezed through it. Kind of the same thing we're talking about, honestly, with Akon, in a way, comes up with that, what is authenticity? But before I bring to the table what I worked on over the last couple of weeks, do you have anything to say about Gretchen Wilson at all?
And when I put it on, the first thing I said as it started was, well, I'm a country chick and a rock. And then the lyrics that opened up the song are basically like, I'm a badass chick. And I had to be like, oh, it shakes my head.
Yeah. Yeah. She,
that's all I got.
She got big on Redneck Woman. And then like, I looked her up and she made like 15 songs that were just variations of that. So that got me thinking. I mean, we remember 2004. When you could say, you know, hard R's and make a song about it and get away with it. And some other things that were big in 2004 inexplicably were redneck comedy. Remember the blue collar comedy tour? Remember how much people loved that? and Larry the Cable
Guy. That was a thing I could never understand.
Yeah, sure, but that's because we weren't living it. We were elitist, snobby, college-educated liberals, man. We didn't get it, okay? But I've always loved... Personally, I've always felt drawn to that. And so, even though I'm not capable of being like Larry the Cable Guy and being a college-educated person who puts on flannel and an accent and pretends to be this character to fleece idiots out of money, but I still worked on some blue-collar comedy. I just need to get out of my system, you know? I've always loved Jeff Foxworthy and his You Might Be a Redneck sketch, you know?
I'm so glad you have your 5 minutes ready for me right now.
If you don't mind, I'm gonna do my tight five of blue-collar comedy, influenced by Gretchen Wilson. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you my tight five off the record sometime, because it's a really weird story about almost being abducted and raped as a child. You go first.
You've definitely set this up the correct way. So this is actually completely inspired by Gretchen Wilson's Redneck Woman. And some of these are actually lyrics from Gretchen Wilson songs, and others are not. And you can figure out which might be which, okay? So this is... I'm getting a little nervous here. It's like an open mic night. Whew, okay, here we go. This is my sketch. So, like I said, some of these are just straight up lyrics from her. Some of them are, you know, my own contributions to what could be Gretchen Wilson lyrics. If you would rather drink beer all night in a tavern or a honky tonk, you might be a redneck woman. If you know the words to every Charlie Daniels song, you might be a redneck woman. If you've ever applied eyeshadow in the rearview mirror of your Ford F-150. You might be a redneck woman. If you stand barefooted in your own front yard with a baby on your hip, you might be a redneck woman. If you've ever logged onto Twitter to scream at victims of a high school shooting, you might be a redneck woman. If you think Victoria's Secret stuff is real nice but can buy the same damn thing at Walmart for half the price, you might be a redneck woman. If you ever went to Golden Corral and ordered the skinny girl chocolate fountain, you might be a redneck woman. If you ain't afraid to eat fried chicken and dirty dance to Merle, you might be a redneck woman. If you ever thought to yourself, boy, that snack Jeff Sessions must have been able to get it back in the day, you might be a redneck woman. If you ever demanded your husband pull over the ATV to get directions, you might be a redneck woman. If you only liked Taylor Swift before she put out what you refer to as her black music, you might be a redneck woman.
That's a direct quote for sure.
If you're for the Bible and the flag and the working man, but can't get no respect because you're politically incorrect, you might be a redneck woman. If you ever shared an article on Facebook from the Daily Caller about Hillary Clinton's emails and then got into a posting war with your niece who goes to Virginia Tech, might be a redneck woman. If you ever caught your husband, who you married at 19, honking off to a poster of Danica Patrick in his man cave, you might be a redneck woman. Oh, last one, I think. Yeah, okay. If you can't afford your diabetes medication but still vote Republican... because one time you thought you saw a Muslim, but it turned out just to be Miguel, the guy who drives the delivery truck for the mattress store, you might be a redneck woman. Thank you. And that's my Jeff Foxworthy, what's this woman's name? Gretchen Wilson inspired blue-collar comedy. And I just thank you for letting me do that. It's just been a dream of mine to do some blue-collar stand-up. And I just really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for being there for me, Nico.
I feel changed. I feel like I learned a lot, and thank you for teaching me.
Yeah, Building Ball, call me. I'll open for you on your next tour. I know you're like the other guy in that redneck comedy troupe, but like, you know, I think that's the level I could hit, opening for you.
I think he's ready.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed that. I think that's a fitting closer to this now.
Oh, it sure was.
Yeah, and to Gretchen Wilson, hopefully, forever. Nico, where can people find you?
You guys can find me at Nico Vasilo, NicoVasilo, on Instagram, or you can find me over at KidRiotComics.com.
Awesome, and so that's the end of Now 17. We still have a whole another episode to come out this month. And Nika, how would you feel about doing an episode on cover songs, considering we've certainly been through the ringer on that, and a very, very popular and very, very definitely not terrible cover song by Taylor Swift recently just dropped, and I think we could we should talk about these things. How's that sound to you?
Sounds great, brother.
Yeah, so you can find us and a whole lot more at cageclub.me. I'm at Chris Podcasts on Twitter. Right into the mailbag, nowandagaincast@gmail.com, because this summer we're going to be doing some out-of-the-box episodes, and a mailbag might be in the works. So write in with a question about whatever you want, and we will talk about it for so long. And if you like the show, leave a review on iTunes. That'd be the best way for this show to spread like the little virus it is. We'll catch you on the flip side.